Good evening. Show tonight begins in Afghanistan, a hostage release. One of maybe 9 or 12 held by the Taliban without cause. He was there 9 months. However, Bill Raggio observes that this is a trade in some fashion. There's a gunman at Guantanamo of many years, driver for Bin Laden, in the initial attack on Tora Bora. Bill speculates he'll be released. We can only guess at cash. But it's a victory for Rubio. Good for him. The Bagram retaking is not much mentioned this week. Maybe back. Did it put pressure on the Taliban? You bet. They don't have the resources to issue stamps. And Bill Raggio and Hossein Haqqani also comment on the state of the war, which is discouraging sometimes. Which war is the critical factor? We lost in Afghanistan, we lost in Iraq. Israel looks to be winning in Gaza. However, Ukraine, a mystery. More conversation with Morse Tan back from South Korea about a mysterious fire at the operations center, a battery fire that contains records of all critical personnel in all directions, as far as I can see, total compromise of the population. And of almost everything else comes to a halt, issuing checks, corresponding. Purposeful? My comments by Morse Tan and Gordon Chang don't rule it out. Makes it easy for people without visas, proper visas, to enter South Korea, as it's going on right now. Mark Clifford, author of Troublemaker about Jimmy Lai, who remains 5th year in jail, joins to comment not only on Jimmy Lai's health, but also the frustration everyone feels that the Starmer government will not move to put pressure on China to release one of its citizens. Jimmy Lai is a British citizen. The Chinese deceive everyone by saying he's a dual national. He's not. He's a British citizen. The Chinese obey laws when they suit them, like all powers. Conversation with Jonathan Saya about Iran. First about what we know about the suspect nuclear weapons program, and then again about Gen Z that I've learned in Iran is fearless in the protests in the streets. Fearless, heedless, reckless. Police back off. Jonathan observes he's somewhere between a Gen Z and a millennial, and he feels the same joy for the protests. David Daoud comments on the Gaza war, house to house, tower to tower fighting. Very difficult. Will take as long as it takes. And what about the negotiations? Unknown at this time. Mr. Netanyahu was in Washington to confer with the president, and they're said to have a plan that the Arab states have signed on to. Hamas is not, as of yet, but Qatar is part of this equation. And Qatar hasn't lent its name and prestige, what's left of it, to this weight, to my understanding, before. Time will tell. Blaine Holt, retired U.S. Air Force general, commenting on these provocations along the frontiers, NATO frontier, Alaska frontier, by warplanes and by drones. There are rules of engagement from the Cold War. You can wag your hand if the other guy, if your adversary won't use the radio. You can waggle your wings, follow me down. Will it be obeyed? Unknown, but Blaine indicates these planes are armed. You're playing with percentages when you put two warplanes up against each other. Alejandro Pena Esclusa, the Venezuelan writer and commentator, indicates that Maduro is one step away from leaving. Ms. Machado and Mr. Gonzalez, who are the leaders of the opposition and the elected president of the country, Mr. Gonzalez, have sent a video saying, please intervene to the United States. People of Venezuela will thank you. Will we? I don't know. Trump administration is sometimes impetuous. I remember the chocolate cake and Syrian rockets into Syria in the first term. We'll see. Colombia is led by a man who's breaking down. His name is Petro. He was in New York for the UN, encouraging the U.S. Army to revolt against its masters. Strange stuff like that, not even worth analyzing. Ahmed Shaarawy of the FTD comments on al-Sharif's speech before the UN, what he wants. It's hardly a sovereign country with Turkey, Russia, U.S., Iran, and Israel all occupying parts of Syria. Shara is pretty much the Lord Mayor of Damascus, what's left of it. And then a comment from Kevin Fraser about the report in the FT of a Russian ship, the Yantar, tracking the undersea cables around Britain. Does it go elsewhere? Perhaps. Why not? Works for the GRU military intelligence. The cables were vulnerable enough without being tracked. FT also tells us that the ship is capable of launching submersibles that can either tap an undersea cable or cut one. Closing down communication and important nodes in and out of a country during self-defense or worse. And the cables, Kevin Fraser assures me, are only partly owned by the militaries of the United States or any other state. They're mostly private, and there's no clear-cut leadership to clean them up or to check them in case the Russians are misbehaving. Bridget Toomey finally gives an account of the Houthis firing rockets they claim have cluster bombs on them, firing drones, hitting a ship that is said to be on fire in the Gulf of Aden. And yet, there is no counter. Not yet. Bill Raggio joins me through many of these segments, commenting with Bridget Toomey, with Jonathan Saya, with Ahmed Shaarawy, with David Dayoud, and I thank Bill. We'll meet again next Monday. Hope you enjoy the show. Science tomorrow. Good night.